Hello and welcome everybody back to another week of the Big Kahuna podcast. Myself, Byron Kenny, and
me, Colin Muldoon.
So we've got a bit of a special episode today.
Always special.
Yeah, it's
all. I think we always say they're special.
Yeah, why not? But we're going to do what we say, disturbing movies or movies that like stuck with us throughout our lives.
For the sake of being PG, we'll say disturbing movies.
Yeah,
we'll probably put a different title on it.
Well, maybe it's another twist on a horror movie episode.
Yeah, but this is just more of gore that took it to the extreme, I think.
Yeah, or just like movies, like they weren't intentionally supposed to be scary, but they always stuck with you.
Movies that shocked you, but not in a kind of a psychological sense. Well, maybe in a psychological sense, but more just like, wow, it just touched a nerve in terms of being gruesome and taking you off guard, I think.
Well, that's how I think horror movies do stand out. The ones that stick with you like a few weeks after watching them.
Mm. As I said, we have a few in here that aren't even horror films. And we have actually kind of a children's section as well, where as we watched them as kids, we were like, this shouldn't be...
They shouldn't be rated U. Should be like at least 12s or something, you know?
They're really stayed with us. Now, obviously for different reasons, but
yeah.
We're going to start off with their adult section, I suppose. The ones that are really, really effed up. I suppose we'll get straight into it.
Yeah,
We'll start off with maybe Apostle.
Apostle, yeah. I think we spoke about this a bit before in the podcast.
We spoke about this in our Top 5 Horrors podcast from a good while back.
So, yeah, it's definitely worth the watch.
Yeah, this is our 11th episode, by the way.
Yeah?
That's pretty impressive. I mean, as the lads are saying, most episodes don't make it past the first one, so...
Kudos to the listeners.
Kudos to the listeners, man. That's what I should have said. It's getting the listenership is getting better and better every week. Slowly getting there. I'm gonna try and drop some new stuff, and in the coming
couple
of weeks.
Some fire.
I'm leaving it up to Byron, but he's.
I've got something in the melting pot.
First I've heard. Anyways, thank you very much for your continued listenership. This wouldn't be here without you, I suppose. To each and every one of you.
Inspirational.
Thank you very much. We'll get on with it anyways. Apostle.
So Apostle, yeah.
Netflix is Apostle.
I suppose it's about a friar, would you say? Or just a priest?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going off to some kind of cult out in some island off the coast of England to save his sister who was like abducted by this religious cult.
By the way, you're the synopsis man, you know that.
Am I?
Synopsis are very good, yeah. I've heard a few people say that.
Oh, big time. I just saw it ramble on.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say, but
sorry to
kill my slow. Yeah, but he just goes over to the island, tries to save his sister, and some paranormal events.
It's kind of a cult type thing.
Yeah.
Most importantly, I suppose. There's a bit of a supernatural element as well, isn't there?
Yeah, some really weird scenes in there.
Yeah, but I suppose the one that sticks out, and the reason why I put this here, and you'll probably agree, is
the... I think I know what you're talking about. It's the one with the gimp.
No.
Do you know the one with there's a gimp out in the forest?
Yeah. There's something about that one, alright, but you know what I'm on about, the torture scene.
The torture scene where I think
some people will have even a passing knowledge in horrors and modern day horrors will know about this scene. It's where they basically strap a young lad down. Do you remember the reason why they
I think he'd hit the town, we say sheriff.
Yeah.
He might have stolen an apple or something and they were just trying to prove a point. So they brought him out to the square and shaved his head.
Real sadistic scene. You're like, how far are they going to take this? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and was his father the one who passed the sentence down?
Because he was trying to prove a point.
Yeah.
Which makes it even worse.
It's like in Game of Thrones when
spit it out, man.
He's the Baratheon. He's Stannis Baratheon and sentences his daughter. He sacrifices his daughter to the fire gods for a bit of good fortune.
Whenever you mention Game of Thrones, it unlocks these memories. I haven't seen it in so long, but by the way, I watched Gen V.
Yeah, what do you think?
Very good. Very, very good.
Wasn't it?
Not the boys' level, but...
I wasn't expecting that, but... very good ending as well.
Excellent. It was really excellent. It had the nice little sprinkling of the boys' characters as well.
And you just see Homelander. You just sprinkle him in there.
So good.
And I just thought, he's just going to come in and save the day, but he was the same old Homelander.
Yeah,
he's gotten worse, actually. It's brilliant.
He's getting worse and worse, yeah. His mind is getting more and more corrupted. But the characters are really good.
Yeah, I do
they
like them.
They do their characters really well. And the scenes.
I didn't know if I liked the main character to start, but she did grow on me.
No, she grew on me as well.
And her power as well.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be a bit of a dose. But there's some really likable characters in there.
I like the way it's like a college setting. Like, they're all like, they're not experienced soups, and they're just young and they're just having the crack.
It's like that raw edge that you have to the boys anyway, but like, they're kind of all feeling it out, you know, and they're growing with their powers and all that, but they're having a good time as well. And I was at the start, I was like, is this a secondary school thing or a college thing?
Mm.
I don't know why I was thinking that, but it's so clearly a university thing. Like,
yeah, I love the way in the boys, like, each superhero's got their own like past trauma and stuff like this, and
they do well. And it's not cringe, and it's not overdone. It's like, but it's actually real, you know. And it's funny. That's one thing about the boys and Gen V.
Yeah, the humor.
By addition, is the humor is excellent. But anyways, getting back to Apostle.
Apostle, yeah.
So talk to, like, in detail this scene, because we don't want to give spoilers here. This is an excellent film. Apart from this, this is just kind of like a cherry on top for those gore hunters. But
they strapped him to a table.
They shave his head. And shave, like, his head. Okay, yeah. Where's this going? Is it like?
And they bring over like this wine bottle opener, essentially.
Yeah, essentially, it's like the end of a wine bottle. It's like the end of a wine bottle almost, but it's
corkscrew.
Like, yeah, but it's got a serrated edge, like. Yeah, it's like a corkscrew, I suppose. Yeah.
In a way. And they slowly start twisting it towards his head, but they left a bit of room there.
Yeah.
Just a bit of anticipation. Yeah. They're like, no, they're not going to do it.
And he's screaming, man. His girlfriend is there in the corner, and she's literally in the corner, like. The whole town is around watching, like. And I was just thinking to myself, there's no way they're going to kill this guy.
No, they didn't think much of it, though, did they?
No, they loved it. They seemed to be loving it, like, you know. Yeah.
Public execution. Public execution.
That's what got them all going back in the day. But anyways, it basically burrows into his head. And like,
but it must be so agonizing because
it was so slow. And some guys just churn it, like, and there's a few smiles on people's faces.
Yeah.
And this is like a very small, tight knit community where they're all clearly very, very sadistic. Like, it is pretty gruesome now, I have to say. I was just thinking about the last day, like,
yeah, but there was just the supernatural element of it as well.
Yeah,
like there was
the church and everything.
Yeah, it's like the land they were living on was alive,
mm.
and they were like. Worshipping this like deity, you say.
Yeah, there was a bit of a deity element to it, and it's kind of close to home as well. You could almost see it like an Irish island, you know.
Achill Island.
Achill Island. No.
I heard there's a bit of a cult out there.
No cult, man. It's all gone.
Or is that just?
It's just a beautiful place. That's all I'll say.
I don't know. I've heard a few rumblings around the place.
You watch your mouth about Achill Island, buddy.
But you remember that scene where he fell into like this river of blood?
Yeah. Which part was that?
I don't want to spoil it, like.
I haven't seen this in a while. Is this going to spoil
it?
He
came across the said deity and then fell into a little river of blood.
Mm.
It's hard to explain, but it was just. I think that might have been a bit over the top now because I just didn't see that coming at all.
Maybe that's good, though. I don't remember being like a standout horror, but there was definitely moments like.
Yeah, but it's just because it had potential. I really liked the story. Yeah.
The story was very good. It was very fresh and new, like.
Mm, that's what you needed.
Yeah,
but I like that period it was set in, like 1915, 1905.
Mm. And it's kind of the ambiguity of it, like, it's kind of the unknown, like, would an outcast island like that, would they really be acting like that?
Who knows?
Would they, if they're so isolated, would they really look up to
but
this?
But they wanted to go out there, that was their thing, like, they had a big religion, so they were set on it,
and when you said it so far in the past or so far in the future, if that be the case, then you're always open up the question, like, could the possibility
arise, you know? Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's why it's cool. But anyways, that's our first pick.
Alright, do you want to move on to the next one? What's there written down?
I'm having a look here. I'm thinking, what do we talk about next? One that you mentioned already, Hostel.
Hostel, yeah.
I think you can't do a list like this and not put this in
the torture element.
Yeah.
But that's what it is, and I think Saw as well is in the same boat. It's just it's just a movie of like an hour and a half of just torture and that.
You have Saw on your list as well.
Yeah.
Talk about the Hostel first. Hostel
is like this, shall we say, it's like this secret organization ran by the rich, and they essentially pay for young tourists that happen to go missing out in, like, we'll say, like in Bulgaria or Romania and stuff.
It's like,
they lure them in and they stay in an actual hostel, but then they drug them and they wake up in like
they get beautiful
dungeon.
Women to kind of
lure them in, and they wake up in this kind of like dungeon where like the filthy rich can pay
to
set
watch.
Amount of money to watch or have their way
mm.
with tourists, and they can do whatever the hell they want to them. And
it's usually American, like. Yeah. I think that was kind of funny, like, the way they're American, like.
Yeah, they're so stupid.
That's the stereotype, like, do you really
feel like that? It was Euro trip gone wrong.
Do you really feel that sorry for them, like, you know? They come over to Europe.
Oh, but the torture was worse. I think it was worse than Saw, because they were just going.
It's definitely worse than Saw.
Like, I saw this, there was this one scene where, like, this lad was, he was just toying with him. He got the scalpel out, he was doing a little dance around him. He was like, wait, wait, wait.
It's really sadistic.
And he cut his Achilles heels.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. And then but the worst thing was, it really stuck him. He cut your man's Achilles heels, and he had him strapped to a chair, and he released all his straps and stuff.
Yeah.
And he opened the door, and he's like, go on, man. You're good to go.
Best of luck.
And your man lifts up, and like, he falls. Achilles heel. He like starts to stand up, and his Achilles heel like just stretches because it was cut, and he couldn't crawl out of the room. Oh, sick.
That's kind of a standout scene in that film. But the Spawned, many is a sequel as well. Do you know who the director of that is?
Who?
Eli Roth. Do you know who he is? You'll never guess this. He's acted in Inglourious Basterds. Do you know who he is in Inglourious Basterds?
Is he one of the bastards?
Yep.
He's the...
I don't think you're going to get this.
It's not the Bear Jew.
It's the Bear Jew. You put on some size for it as well, like...
He's beefing up, boom!
That's Eli Roth, anyway. He's a big, like, horror aficionado,
He's a big director in the genre. He's a big director now, more so than acting.
Oh, yeah, he will be. He's not been in too many films. He's been in a few films, I think, but he's not a big-time actor, like. But that's his thing, anyway. He's a horror guy. Big horror guy.
That's like saying Tarantino isn't a big-time actor.
Yeah, I suppose. But he kind of acts in his own films, you know.
But he definitely chooses his roles.
He does. Expertly, one could say. You want to say, you want to elaborate more on The Hostel? Or I call it The Hostel, but it's Hostel.
Hostel, yeah. But it just, like, the story just goes out, and the main character kind of escapes, and he's trying to save his friends, and he's trying to unravel it all, because you can't understand what's going on and why they're doing this.
Yeah, but the fun of the film really lies in the torture, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it does unravel after that. It's not.
Oh, God almighty, tonight.
What?
I remember this scene where it's like, it just pans over to this guy, and it's fucked up. Like, he starts cutting away at this lad's leg, and you can tell your man had been there for like a day or two, because he was missing the other leg, and he just starts peeling his skin off, and he just sits down beside him and starts eating it.
Ooh!
How sick is that? That's disgusting. That put me off the movie. Then I think that was number two. I stopped watching it then. I was like, I've had enough of this franchise. You're done.
Yeah. That's too far. But they're always going to try and get worse and worse. You know what I mean? Like, get bigger. Yeah,
I saw some clips on TikTok of, like, a third one. It just looked a bit shit, like.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you go from there? Like, you know.
Just they do always, these ones kind of do burn out. Like, you could say Saw's kind of burning out. Like, how many moves have they made of that? Eight or nine? It was so fresh, though, when they first released it.
Talk about another film. It's just kind of sprung to my mind. Off the list. I don't know if you've watched it. Terrifier 1 and 2.
Yeah, I saw a bit of the first one. Is that with the clown?
Yeah, it's fun, man.
It's really good crack. It is sick,
like.
Yeah, it's really gory.
Like, the second one is, there's one scene in particular where he just attacks this girl in her house, in her room, like. But he just starts, like, he just do anything imaginable, like peeling her skin off while she's alive, cutting pieces off her, like. All the kind of torture techniques, like.
And he's, like, the character itself was really creepy.
Yeah, he's really creepy. But, like, they show, you know, in some scenes, they, like, cut scene just as they're about to, like, chop a limb off or something. It shows every single bit of it, like. It's kind of redefined the genre. It's gone, like, so it's, like, Saw, Hostel, and then Terrifier 2. Like, honestly, it's, I don't know where you go from there. Like, it's so gory.
But I think today, in today's day and age, you kind of have to stand out. Yeah. You really have to go for it.
Well, they certainly went for it anyway. But anyways, you want to talk about Saw. A word of the edition.
I think everyone kind of knows about the gist, or
if they don't know about the films, they know about the doll anyway. Everyone's seen the doll in Saw.
Yeah, the doll on the bike. The little tricycle, and he wheels in. But it's kind of like... Saw, his name is John Kramer, he kind of like justifies it himself, like he thinks it's kind of moral.
Yeah.
He chooses who he puts in the traps.
He's a cool villain.
Yeah. Like, he's not mindlessly going around picking up lads like in hostel and throwing them into a torture chamber. He's putting them themselves to their own trial.
Yeah, because there's a reason behind every single one of why they're there, you know?
Yeah, because he will theme the trap around what, like, their sin, in a way. Like, there was one there where, like, this guy killed... What did he do? He killed his mate in a motorcycle accident. And he blamed it on someone else, and they ended up going to prison or whatever. And then he, like, strapped him to... he hung him up on the ceiling, and he, like, just started lowering him in. But it was, like, all these, like, bike parts and stuff were, like, spiraling around, and they were going to shred him up, and he had to, like, get out of it. But sometimes he just does rig them so they don't get out. Like, some traps are so weird. But
if you could compare it to another film, it's almost like Seven in that way. Like, you know, like gluttony forces, feeds himself.
Yeah, but he's really creative with them. But I think it's like, it's one of the hardest stories to follow.
Why?
Because there's eight movies.
Watched it. I've seen one or two.
I've watched a few of them. And
I've heard the newest one is excellent.
Yeah, I watched the second newest one, and it was actually all right. There's like there is really good twists and turns in these movies, but there's so much lore and story to it.
It's
crazy.
It's hard
to keep up. There's like nine films as well, or it's 10 X. They're on 10 now.
But do you actually have to keep up with each one? Like,
no, you don't. You can kind of just jump in, but there isn't quite the storyline. Like, especially in like the first three or four, like you're saying Seven, like there was a detective element to it. I forget your man's name, but like throughout the movies, they're trying to get at Saw, and they can never get to him.
Yeah.
He's picking cops off one by one because he's going after the force because it's corrupt.
Yeah.
But I think the one that stood out the most was the very first Saw.
You like that one? I like that one.
Yeah, when they... what was it about the two characters and they were stuck in this like bathroom.
Yeah.
And he chained them up. Scary Movie did a little
skit on it. Shaquille O'Neal. Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Brilliant. He had to shoot the free throw.
And he kept missing then.
He took a while.
And he cut off the wrong leg.
Yeah. Ah, that was class. How would you... I don't think it's the goriest of gory horror, like, is it?
It always took me, because I was watching it, like, when I was, like, 10, and just too early to be watching that stuff.
Yeah.
But,
It is a
good... That's a classic. It is classic for the horror genre.
I think compared to these next two that we have coming up...
Well, what are you saying?
I say we do a little ranking at the end of this, just on gore factor, on disturbing factor.
Well, I think I know my number one. I think we'll probably be the same on it.
Yeah. Do you want to go for the preamble? So, The Human Centipede.
Oh.
We'll talk about 1, 2, and 3, because they're all effed up in four different reasons.
Can you explain the plot? Give me your synopsis, please.
I'll do my best. So there's a what would I say? Like a surgeon in the first one, anyway. He's in the middle of the woods and he abducts these three people. And as you all know, like, he turns them into a centipede. So he stitches their mouths, mouth to ass action, pretty much, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, there was three of them. So there's only one person really getting mouth to ass action.
Yeah, there's only... No.
No, they were getting mouth to ass action.
Yeah.
The other two were getting just mouth action and ass action.
So there's a clear loser here, like.
You want to be on the front.
Exactly. Person in the middle is getting absolutely raw dogged, really.
At least if you're front to the back, you got a bit of freedom with your movement.
Yeah. And at least
if you're in the middle, you know, there's nothing you can do.
It is a bit of a debate. Like, which
like the
one
sleeping
is the worst?
How does the sleeping situation go?
If you're in the middle, those guys aren't sleeping, man. Those guys are not sleeping.
I'm sneaking a nap in there.
Would they just roll over on their sides, maybe? Just a quick little roll?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's just so gruesome, like. Talk about the gruesome nature of it, like it is.
It's just so unnatural, isn't it?
And the screams. I think in these films, the one thing that's always sticked out for me, if the actors have good screams, like
that's a good point.
Get to you, like. And that's what our top film here is, where it really got me. But the screams, if they're really like, oh, they get into your head, like.
They're eerie.
Yeah.
But this doctor just, but it was just the way he was just so... He was so chill about it. He went in like a proper surgeon, explained what was going to happen.
Proper setup, like
a proper hospital setup, everything going. I'm sure he was sanitizing, washing his hands, all this sort of crap.
He was callous, like he just went about it.
It's cold.
But then the second film is...
It's a really artsy version of the centipede, would you say? It's like, it's in black and white, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's like, I don't know. But it's basically, it's even more perverse because it's big, fat guy. He's a mama's boy anyway. But he creates a centipede again. But it's said in this one, he has his way. He has his way with the centipede, man.
What I liked,
come on.
What happened in that movie was that so the storyline was he saw the human centipede movie.
Oh, yeah, that was
And then he's like, I'm going to do that in real life. So this adds another layer to it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It is, yeah.
It's not cool. There's nothing cool around these films. But
you know, it's good. Yeah, little,
it's a bit of Inception or something.
Sprinkle in there, yeah.
But anyways, he has his way with the centipede, like. And I think one of the... I haven't seen this in a while now. And it's not something I'd be rushing to see again. But one of the members of the centipede, I'm just thinking about the plot of the third film. It's so funny. Like. But anyways, in the second film, one of them has a baby anyway. And I think at the end of it, I'm not going to ruin the plot. It's such a brilliant film.
I'm not going to watch it, but you can tell me.
I'll tell it to you afterwards. Anyways, guys, get after the human centipede. But the third film is
brilliant.
So it's basically the surgeon from the first film, but now he's like a prison warden.
I
think it's just the same actor, yeah. But there's a problem with overcrowding. So you can put two and two together there. What did they decide to do?
He just rounds all the inmates up and turns them into centipede.
How many would be in a prison? But the thing is, it's
far-fetched. It's like the whole prison system was like okay with it because they were bringing in like hundreds of doctors to do all these procedures and
it's
stuff.
So far-fetched, but the whole film builds up to this, as long as if it happens halfway through the film. But anyways, however many there be in a prison.
He was so proud. He was so proud of his achievement as well.
He was just standing over in the hospital, and I think the prison, you just stand over watching, that's the final scene.
Anarchy no more.
Yeah. They really solved it, but that one is really farcical. If this first two weren't bad, then that one is really, really funny. It is. The first one is really shocks you. I suppose you know what to expect the second one. But the first one is the serious shock factor.
And big time.
It is disturbing. It's it's so well known now, Human Centipede. I would wonder how many people have actually seen it, though. Or is its notoriety just come from word of mouth?
I think a lot of it is word of mouth. Because people, if you're going to sit down and watch a movie, you're like, why am I really going to put myself through this? I was just debating watching the movie of the week as well. I was it's already 11 o'clock. Am I going to put myself through this movie now?
Scary one, yeah.
When do you watch scary movies? Do you watch them during the day or do you watch them in the depths of the night to really add to it?
I watch them with someone else, man. I hate watching them by myself.
It's a real test of your character, though. I like it.
If you're in bed or something, it's alright and you're about to go to sleep.
If you're in bed and the lights are off,
no, I don't think
and
so.
There's one little creak in the room.
Yeah, but think
the light's coming on. You're getting out of bed.
Yeah, but if you're watching it on the couch and then you have to go to bed, you have to turn everything off and you're looking at the kitchen.
I'm not five, man. You definitely still run down to your room when you turn the lights off night, the last light. You're checking over your shoulder and running down to the room.
It's a slow, calculated walk.
Which turned into a shuffle and then into a run.
Maybe. Yeah, it depends on the film. I remember watching Human Centipede with my good friend Ross O'Horgan, shout out. And it's really got that cult status, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is laughable once you get over that initial gore factor, and it's it is a bit sick, when they realise they're pooing in each other's mouths. Let's be real, that's what they're doing here, you know?
Very nutritious, but
and human mutilation as well.
Doesn't really make. I think it might depend on what he feeds them, but you're not living too long on that.
No way. And that's why it's not very conceivable, but it's fun all the same. And human mutilation is that's what all these films have in common, I suppose. Is that what really gets to people? I think it might be.
That's the disturbing factor, more than, I suppose it is psychological, but it's different to, we'll say, Hereditary.
Yeah, Hereditary is it's a family thing, your family should, that's why I read up and that's why Hereditary is so scary. It's because your family should protect you, and the fact that they will subvert that is quite scary.
I did have Hereditary down, because it just stuck with me.
Yeah, there is a certain amount of gore factor to it as well, It is an effed up film.
I remember I was at work and I just finished watching the movie before I went to work for some silly reason. And I was upstairs and it's kind of creepy upstairs at work. Mm. And the lights were all off and I was getting ice. I know the ice machines are just so loud.
Yeah.
I got the spooks.
Yeah.
I got the ice buckets and I legged it down the stairs. I was not staying up there for too long.
I think everyone who's worked in the bar, like, they know what the ice fucking, you know, they know it's scary. It's always in like a dark place as well.
But there's always one, like, especially in a pub, like when you're upstairs, it's got just some little crevice that is just a bit creepy.
Our pub was, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, it was supposed to be haunted, like.
So was the one I work at, yeah. Creepy. Back in the day, yeah.
Don't like that. When you're closing up,
I think every pub's got their own little haunted house kind of story to it, though.
Yeah, maybe it just adds, so I don't know. But yeah, that's Human Centipede anyway. The trifecta. We go on to our...
trifecta, yeah.
Our final one. This is the one that really got me.
This is the one here now. This is the big one. If you've got the balls to watch it, please do.
Reveal.
Tusk.
Tusk. Directed by... I had it down here just because this is our... I think this is our number one. Directed by Kevin Smith. 2014 film with Justin Long.
Spit the cast out there. Like, it's got actually a good cast Justin for a horror movie.
Haley Joel Osment, who was in The Sixth Sense.
And The Mesmerizer.
The Mesmerizer, yeah.
He was in it.
I don't know the rest of them now.
Did you say Johnny Depp was in
Johnny
it?
Johnny Depp was in it, yeah. Yeah. Johnny Depp is a detective in it, but he's got lots of prosthetics on. And then the main dude, as you find out, is the perpetrator. He's quite good as well. He would have been... He's kind of waned off. He's an older guy now.
Yeah, but he was in... I'm not sure what he was in, like, but you'd recognise him.
Yeah, you would. But go on, just give us a brief synopsis of Tusk. And we'll talk about why it is so goose.
I can't even remember the start, like, it was just like classic start.
He's in a podcast. He's in a podcast with Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, the start of like a classic, you know, they're having the crack, has his girlfriend, you know, whatever, best friend, buddy going around having the crack. And then.
But they have a podcast about funny stories or something. Yeah, he heads off to Canada, I think.
Yeah, he gets invited to a mansion, isn't it?
Yeah. No, he gets invited to something, but they blow him off anyway. Like, it's a funny story, but they blow him off, whoever was supposed to do it. And then he's hanging around a pub, and he sees this sign for, like, whatever, big story, like, this old guy will tell you this crazy story he has. So he takes a punt, heads off into the forest, this big-ass mansion, meets this guy, and he thinks he's going to take the piss out of him, he's going to get some stupid story
for the pod, yeah.
But whatever happens then,
he drugs his tea, just offers him tea, yeah. And drugs it, and then your man, he wakes up and he's just in a little wheelchair, but he doesn't have, he's missing the bottom half of his legs,
yeah. But he kind of edges you with that, like, you're looking at him,
yeah, because it does like a top half view, like a shot of his body, and you don't think much is wrong, but he's in a hospital robe, yeah, on the chair, and he can't really move too well. He's a bit shook, and it just pans down, and he's from knees down, he's missed his two legs.
Imagine
what is going on here.
And the film was really good up to that point.
Like, yeah, it was really well done. Yeah.
Then anyways, I think we'll fast forward a few sequences.
He has the antagonist has got like
But he's got a fetish for
walruses.
Walruses, yeah. So,
and human centipede again per se. And he just turns your man into a fucking
poor old Justin
walrus. He turns him into a walrus.
I mean, it is, like, to say disturbing now. Like, the first shot of him as a walrus is really...
I think it's because the costume they had in... There was a hint of realism, but it also looked fake as well.
Yeah.
So it just looked a little bit unnatural.
Yeah, I must say, out of all these films, this is the one that... And I don't know why, it's such a silly film, like...
But yeah.
The costume
effects... It's just the prosthetics were just on point.
Brilliant, man. Absolutely brilliant,
like. And I love the way that your man just... He treated him as a walrus. He was like... He's breaking him down.
Throwing him fish,
and he was only talking to him as a walrus, and he jumped in the water himself to pretend to be a walrus and started playing with him. And your man, you can see him, like, his psyche was just slowly deteriorating throughout the movie, and he actually started to believe he was an actual walrus.
Yeah, and it was, as I said before, like, the screams. I think what makes this is the screams and the costume effect. Like, the costume is so good, it's so disturbing, but then his screams are excellent. Like, it really gets you. Like, oh my god, this guy's going through it. Like.
It's almost as creepy when he was, he believed that he was a walrus, and he started doing clapping his fins, because he didn't have arms anymore. He got pretty well.
And that's what
flippers.
That's the difference between the Human Centipede and Tusk, I would say, is that he took it to the next level. Breaks him down.
He really brought it up.
The guys in Human Centipede are always like, oh, you know, I want to get out of this, but he wants to be a walrus in the end. It's fucking, it's crazy.
But that final scene,
yeah,
is actually mint.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, but the film dies because of Johnny Depp's kind of introduction, and they're kind of. It's like a comedy as well.
Yeah,
it's
really, I didn't really like that
comedy element of
it. But it was the girlfriend and her best friend. Yeah. They're they were just a bit odd.
Yeah, we won't spoil the plot on that one. But anyways, they're looking for him, but they kind of turn into a comedy then when you've already had this really, really perverted and sadistic twist to it. Like,
I suppose it does take away from the... It
really takes away
the drama. But, I mean, it was solid the whole way through, and especially with a lot of horror movies. Like, I'd say 90% of horror movies, they really die off at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But this one just held on, you know?
Do you think so?
Yeah, but that final scene stays with you. You cannot tell me that final scene.
No, I'm glad I watched the end, but Jesus Christ, I was hanging in there. Like, I was not. I did not want to be there till the end.
A lot of movies, like, especially horror movies, they'll bring you just to the tipping point. And nothing's going to happen. Just be dead. It usually just goes way too far-fetched or whatever.
Or it's very, you know what's going to happen.
But I think that's why these ones are in here.
Yeah.
They do have a strong ending, which is what you need for horror movies.
Tusk was, yeah. It was one of a kind. That kind of brings to the conclusion our adult movies. Do you want to give them a rank in there? I'm just looking at these, like, they're good shows.
So what have we got? Tusk, Saw. Well, let's say a franchise of Saw.
I'm going to say, so the franchises are Terrifier, Saw, Apostle, Hostel, Human Centipede, and Tusk.
We'll say three.
No, I'm going to rank all of them because I think they actually deserve it. I think this is a nice little, this is a good genre. Like, this is a nice subgenre we fit on here.
Right.
I'm going to put, in terms of gore factor, now, this isn't in terms of how good the film is.
Yeah.
But in terms of how much it actually
disturbed you.
F'd you up, as the title will say. I'm going to go for Apostle number, how many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Apostle number 6. Saw number 5. Hostel number 4. I say Human Centipede number 3. Terrifier number 2. And Tusk number 1. That's my ranking.
All right.
Go on, give it a bash.
Pretty high-ranking.
Well, just do the ones that you've seen.
Yeah. So, all right. Bear with me now. Try and read this guy's handwriting.
Oh, okay. My God. As if.
I'm going to disqualify the... I think that says Terrifier, does it? All right, anyway. So, number 5, I'm going to go Apostle, although it's a great movie. 4... Oh, what's that? What does that say?
The music?
That's Saw, is it?
That's Tusk at the top.
Tusk, okay.
Four what?
Four. Yeah, I'm gonna go 4 Saw, 3 Hostel, 2 Human Centipede, and 1, of course, Tusk.
Okay.
There you go. Just gotta rattle them out.
Let me digest.
What did
that
I say?
Again.
I said 5 Hostel, 4 Saw, 3 Hostel.
What?
Yeah.
You just said Hostel twice.
No, I didn't. What did Apostle?
Oh, Apostle, sorry.
Saw, 3 Hostel, 2 Human Centipede, and 1 Tusk.
Yeah, that's solid. That's solid. We get on to our kind of the kids' kind of movies.
Weird talk category, like, but
we'll get right into it. Watershed Down. This is the one that you mentioned to me only today.
And it resonated with you. Kind of just.
It opened up a little thing in my mind that I hadn't.
I think you blocked it out, to be honest.
Yeah. Watershed Downs, I remember it being really sweet and stuff, and like I think,
but that's what you look at as a kid, like
Simon Garfunkel had a really nice song, and it was like, that's the only memory of it. But there's one particular scene, I would call it a scene, it's a full like sequence.
Is that when the, it's like the wolves or something?
Yeah, this is the
they
one
come where, after the rabbits.
Yeah. Is that the I one think, you're on about?
Yeah. I think we'll talk about the plot first though.
Talk a bit about
if
plot,
anyone hasn't seen it. I think a lot of people might have.
Yeah.
But so it was a animated movie made in Britain. It was originally a novel published by Richard Adams, who was the author, in 1972, and it was adapted into the movie in 1978.
Jesus, got the full thing in front of him here.
Yes, of course. And then, I don't know, basically it's about these rabbits and their home is destroyed, and they're just looking for a new home because there's like a farmer after them. There's different predators along the way. They've got all these trials they have to go through.
It's brilliant.
It's a brilliant adaptation of the novel, but it's just... The first time, like, I watched it when I was, like, maybe 4 or 5. It was the first time I've seen real blood in a U-rated animation.
It's a cartoon.
Blood and gore. I'm talking vicious. Like, these animals are killing each other.
Mm.
And they were all... But they're really likeable characters as well. So you were really down when they died. Some of them, and I don't know, man, creepy.
Really, like, it's kind of a dangerous thing. You don't want to mess with kids at that age. Like, you know what I mean? Something like that.
It was just the gruesome nature of the...
Yeah.
Of it all. And they were so helpless throughout the movie.
Mm.
And they were really going through the trenches.
And that is what probably messes people up more than any of those gory ones, like, when you're an adult. But when you're a kid, it's like...
Because you're so impressionable.
So impressionable. And it strikes a chord that you mightn't even know is there now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it strikes something that...
Yeah, like, unearths, like, these, like, feelings that we only ever had as a kid, really. It's
weird. You can kind of strike upon them now as you remember back. But
I feel it's, like, just vivid memories, which is almost worse.
Yeah.
In a way.
Like, vivid, like... emotions attached to them
that you can't
even articulate now.
But this movie, from its release date, was still getting the BBC were still getting phone calls from parents complaining about the movie until 2012.
Yeah.
And it was released in 1978.
That's mental.
I think that just shows you what this movie was doing to kids.
Yeah. We won't dwell on it too long, but that was a great shout. Kind of unlocked something I hadn't even... You're going to tell the mother now, so... Cause
I'm going to give it another go, I think.
Definitely. Honest. The next two are... These are kind of your the standard classics. Stuff. Yeah. This is great stuff. First one... You said Monster House.
I was surprised by this. Obviously, classic.
Yeah.
It was just the scenes where you finally unearthed what, like, the whole story behind the house. And it was, like, the spirit of your man's wife.
That is the one.
But it was when... They did the flat when they went into the. They were down in the bowels of the house in the basement, and they were just like looking at the flashbacks of the house's soul, and it was the big fat lady,
and
she was in the circus. I don't know. It was just something about those scenes that really creeped me out.
They were quite creepy. Yeah.
And when they poured concrete over her, was it? Or they dumped her in a hole.
Oh yeah.
She, like, she was in the foundations of the house, and they built over that.
Mm.
And then, like, it all clicked, and I was like, "Oh, that's why the house is alive." And it really got to me.
It was kind of like they took her humanity away as well. Like, she was in the circus before that. Remember?
Yeah,
the fat woman.
And yeah, they're all laughing at her. And
I don't think she ever really speaks throughout, even in those flashbacks. She doesn't speak, so they take that humanity away.
I think she was horrid, but then. They did show there was a glimpse of her like being sound to the husband kind of like she was a bit sweet, so then you have a bit of empathy for her.
Oh. You know who the husband is? The voice.
No, who?
Steve Buscemi.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Pretty cool little nugget.
I suppose it does kind of look like him in a way.
It does kind of.
An old disheveled, wrinkled up old prune version.
That's mean, man. I was surprised you said that one though. But I don't think
it's a serious.
It's just a great film.
It's a great film.
I suppose I kind of see where you're coming from.
Like, I did love the guards in it, the police. I love the whole, the arcade scenes.
Yeah, they're good.
And just like, you know, the kids, Halloween, shooting a bit of b-ball outside the house.
It's a bona fide classic. The next one is a bona fide classic as well, Coraline.
Yeah, which I've never actually seen fully.
What? Oh yeah, you said this.
Yeah, because I suppose it creeped me out, like, but I never got around to watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt then at a certain age I was just too old and was going to bother, so here I am. Fair.
Everyone knows about Coraline now, you know what I mean? I think that's the thing, but
I feel like I've watched Coraline on TikTok because they've done so many deep dives into this film. Like, there's so many like little Easter eggs in this movie that is hidden meanings, like symbolisms, everything. It's crazy.
But the bit that always got me was when the other mother took the real parents, and he took her into the other world or whatever. And like Coraline comes out, she's all happy, like, and she's like, "I'm back with my parents." And then she's in the house by herself, like a child. You know what I mean? She finally realizes she has to go back into the other world. And I just think that, like, having to make that choice as a child, like, it's that mess with me a bit, like.
It's the button eyes that got me.
Yeah, I mean, they were creepy. What?
There's a certain word for like when they do it in horror movies, like they distort, like. Like, they get these human objects, they make them look almost human, and they just kind of distort it in a way, and that's what really creeps
TikTok.
People out.
That's
what's
going on TikTok.
I forgot the word for it, but there's a whole thing on that.
What's it called? Silent Valley or something like that. You know that trend going around with the makeup thing?
Yeah.
Some of them are genuinely scary. I watched one on Instagram Reels, obviously. I don't have TikTok, like, you know. I'm not one of those
guys. Absolute beast.
But I saw one that really actually messed with me, like. It was really creepy.
It's just when they're
and it had that, the black eyes.
They're 99% human, but there's something just a bit off about it.
Yeah, it's it does mess with you. But Coraline messed with me as a kid, definitely. And obviously, it's kind of disappointing.
I think it's understandable, like.
when you watch it now, though, I watched it recently.
Yeah, you can say it for Monster House as well. Yeah,
but like when you're there, and I suppose that's the thing, when you're there in that moment, it definitely does mess with you. Messes you in a way that you can't fathom at this age. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of scary thing about it, I suppose. But I think they're
good. I didn't love that about horror movies as a kid. Like personally, when I went to watch them, I would either, there's two outcomes. I either just wouldn't finish it because I get scared, or I would just fall asleep. And I would just do that. I just go on repeat. Like, yeah. Tonight's the night, I'm going to finish it. Because you'd be so young, you just fall asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how did you, like, I used to have, like, this, you know, the box TVs, and you, like, the, what you call them? The rec, they're not records, the, you get them an extra vision. You fucking slot them in. They're about that thick. What are they called again?
Oh, tapes.
Tapes, yeah.
Jesus.
Sean, what is this?
Yeah. They're a throwback, all right.
I just love the aesthetic of just throwing it in and then just touching the static on the TV and shock you and all those ones.
Yeah, there are different times.
You'd have to bang the top of the TV to get it going.
Boom, boom, boom. I suppose that concludes, does it?
Yeah. I think Movie of the Week kind of, I suppose it kind of started this theme off for this episode.
This is a fire movie.
Fire.
Absolute brilliant. Burn, like, from minute one, like,
solid storyline that builds it up. You didn't know what the big bad was if you'd never seen it before. Until literally, I was looking at it there. It's just over half, I think 60% way to the movie. You don't actually see the big bad, which is brilliant.
Mm.
And you're completely drawn into it.
But I would say from minute one, there's tension from minute one. And then it's like, oh my God, I never see that coming.
But it's just, essentially it's the descent. It is about this group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for the synopsis?
Quick one though.
Group of friends. Tragedy in one of the families. Fast forward a year later, they go on a camping trip because they're big into their big adventure hikers and all that stuff. They go just exploring caves.
Like, cave exploration.
They got all the gear. Anyway, they go down into this unexplored cave. They think it's part of routine track, mm-hmm. but one of the friends liked them because she wanted to be the big explorer, new cave. Yeah. And down the wrong path, collapses, whatever, you know, they get lost.
But you will never guess what happens.
And then, I think you just gotta watch it.
It's brilliant.
Something's lurking in the depths of this cave, shall we say.
Something, many things.
Epic. The fight scene choreography for a horror movie as well. Brilliant.
The ending is epic.
The gore and the ending.
The nice little twister.
It's what you want.
Twist the nips, man.
Really fucking boop.
Yeah.
They swooshed you.
We'll say no more about it. It's just brilliant. We'll get a little movie review. For now, do you want to rate it?
For a horror movie and everything, I'm going to give it an 8.4.
You're going to go higher. Why are they so...
We're so boring. We got to switch it up. I'm just going to stay honest with it, but I think 8.4 is solid, especially for a horror movie.
I'm going to say 8.6, man, because I never saw it as the big bad coming.
Did you not?
No, never. Oh,
brilliant.
But anyways, we're wrapping it up. We're doing a bit of a quicker episode this week. Our movie for next week, I've chosen it. Way Back inspired me. It's from the director of Superbad, who has, his name has eluded me. But it's called Adventureland, Jesse Eisenberg, and I think Kirsten Stewart is that her name, and Ryan Reynolds as well. So
Adventureland, where I think I've
seen it vaguely before a long, long time ago.
I was doing
ago.
A bit of research for this movie, and I think that movie, I don't know why, or maybe it would have been on TikTok or something, but that did come across me.
Yeah, but we'll get after it. We're going to do the review for The Descent during the week, so look out for that.
Keep out for the Instagram posts.
Getting after them, and we're going to grow that stuff as well. But for now, I suppose, quicker episode, a bit of a shorter episode this week, but we hope you've enjoyed. Good genre, I think.
Yeah, and if you're interested in any of the movies we've referenced, just give them a go,
give them a go, we might do a list as well. We might start doing lists. But anyways, for now, I've been Colin Muldoon.
Myself, Byron Kenny.
Big Kuna Podcast, over and out.
Charles. Let's get on the pints.